Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's Jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second. Since 1983, Eddie Trunk has been the voice for fans of rock, hard rock, and heavy metal. A best-selling author, host of TV's That Metal Show, and seven national radio shows, including Trunk Nation, daily on Sirius XM.
Interesting.
Eddie offers the world his news-making interviews, passionate analysis, honest commentary, and who knows what else. So welcome to the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Hey, it's Eddie Trunk, and time for another episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast. New every Thursday, podcast1.com and iTunes. Thank you for listening, downloading, and streaming. I am coming to you this week from, well, at the time I record this, Denver, Colorado, just coming off of another crazy week of travel. Every week, a different adventure. I was in Cheyenne, Wyoming this past Sunday, where I shot the eighth episode and final episode of season one for my new Access TV series, Trunk Fest. Hope you guys are enjoying it and watching it every Sunday night at 9:30 Eastern and DVRing and all that good stuff. It is a greatly, greatly appreciated. So, yeah, I shot an episode in Cheyenne, Wyoming. I mean, that TV show is all about taking me into different places and experiences, and I certainly got, very much the most different experience I could ever have imagined, because I attended the 122nd year of what is the biggest rodeo in the world, outdoor rodeo. And it's called Cheyenne Frontier Days. I was in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and it was pretty darn interesting to see what goes on there. It is a massive, massive event. And it's a rodeo and a celebration of Western culture. You will be able to see that episode when it airs in about 3 weeks on Access TV. Like I said, Trunk Fest on Sunday nights at 9:30 Eastern. So the one musical artist I talked to at this particular event was Charlie Daniels from the Charlie Daniels Band. It was the first time I ever spent any time really talking to Charlie. And man, what a hell of a nice guy. And as you'll see when the show airs, remarkable, because he's 83 years old and is in great shape. I mean, he's got all his marbles. He doesn't need any assistance getting around. He still performs well. He still tours on a regular basis. Guy looks good. Doesn't have a wrinkle in his face. 83 years old. I could not believe it. And it was a real pleasure to meet him, and that was another new experience on the music side, to be able to talk to a guy that's certainly a little bit out of the wheelhouse of what I'm best known for, but very cool to meet just the same. So you'll see that episode, Cheyenne, Wyoming Frontier Days. I believe it should be airing about 3 weeks from this Sunday on the new Trunk Fest TV series. So I shot that in Wyoming. Spent a couple extra days in Denver having some meetings and meeting some of the folks at Access TV, where they have a headquarters here in Denver. And at the time you hear this, I am in Tulsa once again. I'm hosting a free show there this Saturday at the IDL Ballroom for Bisto Blanco, cool new band. Features Chuck Garrick from Alice Cooper's band, as well as Alice Cooper's daughter Calico. So greatly looking forward to that. The other big news since I talked to you last is the announcement of a new monthly radio show from Los Angeles, live from the Rainbow Bar and Grill. Most people know the historic Rainbow Bar and Grill that was made a landmark by a lot of rock artists, including, of course, Lemmy, who basically lived there. And I'm going to be doing a live radio show from there one time a month. And the very first one is a week from Friday, August 3rd. It's going to be totally free to get into. And I'm going to broadcast for 2 hours from 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific on August 3rd. And we are going to have a very, very, very cool guest as well that cannot be announced in advance, but we will have a very special guest for that very first show. So, as you know, I do a live daily show on Sirius XM on 106 volume every day, 2 to 4 Eastern. And then that show replays 9 to 11 Eastern. So all that's going to happen here is on August 3rd, the 9 to 11 Eastern, 6 to 8 Pacific slot will be the live broadcast. And that will originate from the Rainbow. So if you're in Southern California, August 3rd, 6 to 8, come on down and join us for what should be a fun party. I hope it really channels some of the old school fun of the Sunset Strip. And then anywhere else, just listen, because you'll hear all the action live as it unfolds over the air on Sirius XM 106 volume, which of course is where the interviews you hear on the Eddie Trunk podcast originate. Before we get to this week's interview, like I said, check all my appearances. There are a ton of things coming up. Have a look on the homepage of eddietrunk.com and hope to see you out and about. Follow on Twitter, Instagram, fan page on Facebook, all simply at Eddie Trunk. So Denver, Tulsa, at the time you hear this, home to New Jersey for a couple days, and then off to Los Angeles for the very first Trunk Nation invasion, or we're calling it the, how's the catchy name? Oh, the Trunk Nation LA invasion. That's the catchy name they came up for, live from the Sunset Strip in Hollywood. And then I'll head out west for that, the very first one, which should be a monthly event. So there you go. A lot of stuff going on. I also saw Def Leppard and Journey while I was here in Denver. As soon as I got here, got to see almost all the guys in Def Leppard, talked to everybody but Sav, but it's great to see everyone. Vivian Campbell played me a new Last in Line track that sounded really cool. The place was sold out, and it was a baseball stadium, Coors Field. It was a tremendous scene, something I never thought I'd see. 45,000 people watching Def Leppard and Journey in a baseball stadium in 2018 in Denver. So made me feel good for rock music, and it made me feel good to see all these rock fans out there, and certainly made the bands feel good to have that many people come out to see them. Both bands sounded real good. Didn't get to watch full sets. I got there late, and I had to leave early because I had to get up to Wyoming. But it was good to say hi to the guys and good to catch up with everybody and see all the great rock fans that were there as well in Colorado at the Coors Field event. So if I ran into you, very cool. Thank you. And thanks to the guys in Leppard. Good to catch up with them a little bit and see that show, which I guess another leg of that tour is coming soon as well. All right, I want to get to the interview this week. And it is with a band that I've talked a lot about over the last year or so called The Struts. For my money, one of the best of the emerging new rock bands. As I've said a lot of times, if you listen to my satellite show, I think that there are three bands right now at the cusp of really, really blowing up and hopefully giving rock a big kick in the pants. And that is Greta Van Fleet, The Struts, and Ghost, who are also well on their way. So that to me, regardless of, I know there's other great emerging rock bands, but that to me, those three are the ones that are most on the verge and maybe becoming something really big and special. We'll see how it plays out. Of those three right now, I could tell you that The Struts are my favorite. They are walk a lot of different lines. There's pop in what they do. There's rock. There's hard rock. I recently went to their show, one of their shows. I saw people there from kids to 70 years old. They have a wide appeal, equal male, equal female. Clearly, the Struts wear their influences on their sleeve as well. Stuff like Queen and a lot of the 70s British glam pop and things like that. And we have to wait to see what this next record's going to be like, which will be kind of like their first official real full-length album. But I like them a lot. I saw them recently. To me, the Struts and Rival Sons are the two bands I like the most on the emerging rock scene. And got a chance to have the Struts in my studio just before they opened for the Foo Fighters at Madison Square Garden. So they literally came to my Sirius XM show and then walked down the street and played Madison Square Garden for the first time with Foo Fighters. Pretty cool. So that sets the table for the interview you're about to hear. That was the day that this happened. All four members of the band came in. Luke does the bulk of the talking, as would be expected with the front man in the band. And this, again, is courtesy of my volume show on Sirius XM. So you got a full hour here, just shy of an hour, with all four members of, for me, what I think one of the most exciting and best newer rock bands on the scene, the Struts. They're the guests on this week's Eddie Trunk Podcast, coming right back.
The Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Hey, let me tell you guys about an awesome new toothbrush I got called Quip. Truth is, most of us are brushing our teeth wrong, not long enough, and this one toothbrush can change it all because, unlike most brands that focus on selling flashy gimmicks, this is all about better brushing. Quip is truly awesome. They are very different. For starters, Quip is an electric toothbrush, fraction of the cost of bulkier brushes, while still packing the right amount of vibrations to keep your teeth clean. Quip's built-in timer helps you clean for the dentist recommended 2 minutes with guiding pulses that remind you to switch sides. Next, Quip subscription plans are for your health, not just convenience. They deliver new brushed heads on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5, including free shipping worldwide. Quip carries all sorts of great stuff. It comes with a mount, suctions right to your mirror, unsticks to use as a cover for hygiene, travel, wherever you take your teeth, and you take them everywhere, right? And finally, everyone loves Quip. They were on Oprah's Q list, named one of Time's best inventions, and the first subscription electric toothbrush accepted by the American Dental Association. Plus, they're backed by a network of over 20,000 dentists and hygienists, and hundreds of thousands of happy brushers use Quip every day, including me. Quip starts at just $25, and if you go to getquip.com/trunk right now, you'll get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's right, free. getquip.com/trunk. That's getquip.com/trunk.
Hey, it's your girl Amber Rose.
And I'm Dr. Chris.
And we're excited to announce the launch of the Amber Rose Show with Dr. Chris right here on Podcast One.
We'll be taking your calls, sharing our expert advice, and talking all things sex, relationships, and self-empowerment.
This is a judgment-free show, and we want you to be a part of the conversation. So make sure to download new episodes of the Amber Rose Show with Dr. Chris every Thursday on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and Apple Podcasts.
Make sure to rate and review on Apple Podcasts.
Hey, if you guys like my show, you're not going to want to miss No Excuse with John Taffer. Shut it down and listen to John, the award-winning hospitality legend, as he brings his straight talk and unapologetic approach to daily topics and current events. You don't want to miss his latest interviews with Adam Carolla and RJ Bell, the host of Dream Preview on Podcast One. So download No Excuses every Tuesday on Podcast One, podcastone.com, and Apple Podcasts. Also remember to rate and review.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
All right, let's get back to, let's get to this week's interview on the Eddie Trunk Podcast. As I mentioned, all four members of the Struts came by my studio for my live Sirius XM show. And it was great talking to them. This was just minutes before they took the stage at Madison Square Garden. Well, a few hours before they took the stage at Madison Square Garden to open for the Foo Fighters. So here you go. The Struts on this week's Eddie Trunk Podcast. Enjoy. We have in the studio a band that, ever since I first saw them live, which was last October, I only saw like four or five songs, but it was enough for me to be like,
holy shit, this is the band that's going to save rock and roll. All four members of the Struts, thank you for being here, gentlemen.
Thank you.
We have Luke, we have Adam, we have Jed, we have Getten. Good to see you guys. And just got a little gig tonight playing with the, playing the garden tonight. You know, just a little gig.
Playing
down
the garden, you know. I think it's going to be cool. Ever since I watched The Song Remains the Same.
Right.
That's all I've wanted to do is actually just, see a show there. I thought I would see a performance there before we ever got to be on the stage. So to play it is, I think, is a little bit premature, but we're ready.
Well, the idea is, of course, that you want to play it as your own gig, as
exactly,
a headliner.
Yeah,
that's where you're headed. Now, you're playing it tonight opening for Foo Fighters, which is awesome,
mm-hmm.
but that's a nice sort of appetizer for what the ultimate goal, I would believe, would be.
Yeah, it's going to be good. You know, I'll have a feel of the room and, you know, see how my voice sounds like coming back off the wall and, you know, the stage itself, you know. So by the time we headline it, you know, and sell it out, I'll sort of be ready then.
You'll be comfortable.
I'll be like, right, these shoes for this song and this jacket for that bit, and you know, I know the dimensions.
Have you guys stepped foot in there? Have you been in there yet today?
No, not yet. Crew are currently setting up as we speak.
Okay,
we're going to roll out after this and go and sound check.
All right, so you haven't. So nobody, none of you guys have ever actually been in the building before.
We wandered past there the other night. We were
get up on that mic so we can hear you.
Yeah,
a little bit.
We wandered past it the other night looking for pizza at 4 a.m. and we saw our name under the Foo Fighters, and it was like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Oh, that is cool. You got, I'm assuming you got a photo of that, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we all did. Of course we did.
Yeah. And you got to have a big-ass stretch limo waiting there for you at that ramp when you get off stage.
Four of them.
So you could pull a Song Remains the Same move and go right up that spiral thing, right?
Police escort, you know, in between each limo, just a Harley Davidson police.
For people that you guys have had, I mean, playing the Garden's a pretty cool thing, but in the history of the Struts, you guys have had some pretty amazing show opportunities. Yeah. I mean, playing some unbelievable gigs, including, of course, currently with the Foo Fighters. Mm. But talk about, because you opened for Motley Crue for a bit too, right? Luke, give us the rundown of some of the highlight moments as far as bills you've shared.
Honestly, we've been the most luckiest unlucky band in the world, if that makes any sense. The first life-changing show, which really led everything to where we are right now, being sat with you in this present moment, was supporting the Rolling Stones in Paris.
It's insane.
That was what?
5 years?
5 years ago. And from four years ago. And from that, you know, that just opened everything for us. You know, nothing was going on. And then after that show, everyone was kind of like, wow. Once you have the Stones in your kind of like opening slot roster, if you want to call it that, people really pay attention.
And how did that come about?
Well, you know, we used to tour around France all the time. The five of us, including like Adam's cousin, used to drive us around in a little white transit van, and we would play up and down the country of France in these little clubs and stuff like that. So we had this reputation of a really great, energetic live party band. And I think it was Primal Scream we were meant to be opening for them. And 2 weeks before the show, I think they had to pull out, and there was like a quick meeting, and of course one of the French promoters said, you know, the Struts, they'd be great, and that's what happened.
And does that have to be run through the Stones?
Yes.
So Mick, Keith have to sign off on that, I think, right? So they were aware of the band, or did you send a demo, or what'd you have at that point to sell it to them?
I think what happened was they'd showed Mick some music, and I think it was like, okay, if they can handle the big crowd, and it looks like they can, so let's do it. And then we've gone on to support them a further two times after that.
Have you guys met them? Do they come over and say, you have? Yeah. Talk about that experience.
I mean, I think the best experience was the very first time in Paris. You know, we were so naive and so, like, a little bit younger, and we didn't really realize like how big of a deal it was, and you know, we were watching their sound check, which is a no-go. You know, you shouldn't be doing that. And we kind of like snuck out to the general admission area, the standing area, and listening to them sound check Wild Horses, and You Can't Always Get What You Want, with the local choir. Anyway, so the sound check finishes and Mick just walks off stage and then just starts walking towards us and starts to walk past us, clocks us, and realizes this must be the band.
Yeah.
And he literally just came over and shook our hands, and then we you know, I chatted with him for like 15 minutes, which seemed like, you know, 6 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was only after that I realized that, wow, how rare that is, you know, because we've spoken to people that have opened up for them. And again, like I said, we have opened up for them like since, and it's so rare to get like a genuine like connection.
Well, that's why I bring it up, because fans listening would be like, well, they opened for him, how the hell would they not have met him? But that happens. Yeah. I mean, that's not unusual.
Guns N' Roses was the same. You know, it was very, you know, the camp is very like on lockdown and everything's super, super, super organized, which is fair enough. I mean, it's Guns N' Roses, but, you know, we didn't have a chance to like say hello to them or whatnot. You know, Motley, that was great. You know, like Nikki and Tommy and whatnot. You know, we went to Tommy Lee's like after party on New Year's Eve. You know, Nikki was coming into our dressing room and like, you know, saying hello with us. And, you know, going to the Foo Fighters, that's what's made this so amazing, is because not only, you know, is it the opening slot of a lifetime, but, you know, as people, like, we're actually genuine friends now with like the whole entire band.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Like Dave comes into our dressing room, says hello, asks how are we doing. You know, Pat is like our, you know, in-house like A&R man with this next album. He's telling us what not to play and how we should be playing it. And then Taylor, you know, we could talk about Queen for months on end, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I spent a lot of time talking to Taylor and Dave about you guys. Yeah. Because the night I saw you guys, the next night in New Orleans, you played House of Blues.
Yes.
Yeah. And I came to House of Blues because our mutual friend Craig Gass texted me and said, come over. And I was shooting something at Voodoo Fest that Foo Fighters were playing. Mm-hmm. And you guys were playing your own gig at House of Blues. So that's why I only caught the end of your set that night, because I was over there working at the time. But I hung out and talked with Taylor and Dave a lot about you guys and how much they, you know, we all love. I was telling you guys the other night, because I did finally see a full show when you played the other night in Pennsylvania, your own show.
Yeah.
In Bethlehem. I just saw you guys.
That was a good show.
Yeah, it was. It was real good. But we were talking about that, and I've spent a lot of time talking to you guys, not only with my audience, but other people in bands that I know would really get and appreciate what you're about. Joe Elliott, another guy.
Yes.
We were talking about this the other night, and Joe said to me that you guys, he can really relate to what you guys are going through and what you're doing, not only from a perspective of the music that you make, but also what you're dealing with in your home country of England. Because Def Leppard had the same exact thing happen to them, where they were somewhat, they broke here in America way, way, way before they were accepted in England, which I never knew, being based here.
Yeah.
And I had no idea. And Luke, you brought that up when I saw you last week in Bethlehem on stage. You actually talked a little bit about that and about Dave Grohl just recently saying that the Struts are the best opening act, which is an amazing thing to say, that they've ever had. Which has suddenly given you some different level of acceptance in the UK?
It has.
Yeah?
Literally, the weirdest thing was, you know, he'd done that interview and the video from that interview and that specific quote had gone up and it was on Twitter and Facebook and everything. And literally like 45 minutes after that, like these emails started coming in, like, you know, this magazine wants to do an interview in literally 45 minutes time. And then, you know, we had all of this UK radio like stuff coming, and it's just been, you know, amongst everything that him and the band have done for us, that has just been the absolute golden cherry on the cake.
Let me ask you guys this, though, because to me, and I don't mean this with any disrespect to Dave, who I love, and I think it's amazing he did that, but I think that's kind of sad in the sense that the UK and press and wherever they are should react to the Struts or any music simply because it's really good and they like it.
Yeah.
It shouldn't take an iconic rock guy to kind of give it its blessing to all of a sudden have people like sheep flock to it. I mean, that's always bothered me. To the contrary, too, if I've seen, oh, somebody told me that James Hetfield thinks this is great. Well, now we all say it's great. Mm. It's okay to say, no, it's not.
Yeah.
You know, I just wish everyone have independent thought and look at it and say, yeah, we should be covering the Struts or playing the Struts or going to see the Struts because they're a really good band. Yeah. And it's great what they're doing, not because some guy who's on all the magazine covers told us to and then all of a sudden, okay, fall in line, everyone. I mean, it's great that that's happened for you. Don't get me wrong. But in the end, it's kind of like, I don't, it's kind of like you just wish people would just think for themselves a little bit more.
Yeah, I totally agree. And
you'll take it. Don't get me wrong.
Exactly. The intelligent thing to do is definitely take it. But you know, at the end of the day, you know, we are a very unconventional group. You know, and we've always, you know, started. In a very sort of like difficult situation, whether it, you know, when we first became a band, you know, everyone was just telling me that I needed to, you know, change my appearance. And then it was the music and, you know, this hymn sheet that, you know, I wanted myself and the Struts to sing from was definitely a difficult path to go down. You know, if we wanted to take the easy way, we could have just sort of like listened to the radio stations in the UK and read all of the trendy music magazines and thought, okay, let's put on some skinny jeans and, you know, sort of like whimper down a microphone and, you know, and just sort of like do what's trendy right now. So I've always said that the fact that we're unconventional, the way in which we're going to get to the top is also going to be unconventional. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, as again, Dave doing that and saying that, it wouldn't be the most, it's not the most obvious route, but it's the Struts route. And that's the way we're going to be able to sort of like get a reputation and attention in our native country.
Coming right back with more with the Struts on this week's Eddie Trunk Podcast.
The Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Well, guys out there, you don't need to meet me to talk to you about underwear, do you? I mean, really. You're like, well, come on. I don't need to hear from Eddie Trunk about underwear. But you do, because MeUndies are a game changer. And new underwear is better than old. Of course, they have to be comfortable, and you want them to be comfortable, and you want some fresh ones. So you really got to try MeUndies. They stay put, no moving around. They come right to your door. I mean, you need good underwear. It's as simple as that. And this is a no-risk offer. If you're not happy, they'll refund the cost, and you get to keep them. And because you're listening to me, you get 15% off your first pair and free shipping. These are not just regular underwear. They're the softest. They stay in place. They're great. Go to MeUndies.com/trunk. That's MeUndies.com/trunk. And here's an extra gift for you. Check this out. If you order a pair and you take a screenshot of your transaction, you send it to me, you'll get another pair. You get one for 15% off and then another pair free. The first 25 people to send a proof of purchase, a screenshot of your purchase or of the receipt, you'll get another pair free. Just send your proof to gift@podcastone.com and put trunk in the subject line, and you'll soon have another pair in your collection free. Let's do this. MeUndies.com/trunk. That's MeUndies.com/trunk. Send that receipt to gift@podcastone.com. Put trunk in the subject. First 25 people to do so, another pair totally free on their way to you. MeUndies.com/trunk. And for that receipt, send it to gift@podcastone.com with trunk in the subject line.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
We're back with more with the Struts on this week's Eddie Trunk Podcast. For the people that have I'm sure there's people, because I've been talking about you guys now for a while in my audience, but I'm sure there's still people that have not seen the Struts, not heard the Struts. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's plenty, you guys have plenty of fans, but there's probably people listening that don't know about mm-hmm. the band to this point. So give us the condensed version for those folks out there, because it started with Luke, with you and Adam, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how this came together. Mm-hmm. So were you guys both in bands before the Struts?
Yeah. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll do the Uber explanation.
Yeah.
And we're in a car and a guy says, hey, you guys in a band? You know. So basically.
And you got 3 minutes on the ride.
Yeah, so exactly. Those are,
the Strokes.
The Strokes.
The Sprouts. So it basically started with me and Adam. I then quickly moved up to Derby. We started writing tracks.
Was there an immediate writing chemistry?
Yes.
There was. Yeah. Because that's important, obviously.
Yeah.
It'll be 10 years next year as well.
It'll be 10 years since we've been working together.
What was the first song you wrote together?
Song.
Is it on the record?
No.
No.
That's not.
Which one was first? Was it?
I think it was Maggie.
Oh, yeah.
Luke is squinting like it's not a good song, Luke.
No, it is a good song. It is.
And then She Struts Around was another one.
She Struts Around.
But
it's just kind of like all these whimsical, like, you know, funny swing.
I still think they're good songs.
Swung kind of track.
Adam's like, you know, next record, let's go.
Yeah, and then, like, very quickly after that, you know, we did have, like, a previous lineup which sort of, like, went through its motions and, you know, we had a label and it became quite apparent that, we needed to make a change, and that's when we found Jed and Geth. And then since then it's kind of just gone strength to strength, you know, doing shows like in London and having like a residency in Camden was sort of like a really big growing experience for us. And then getting our first bit of radio play in France led us to, like I said, touring there, and then that got us to Stone's show, and, you know, voila, here we are.
So the album Everybody Wants, which is the one full album that exists right now from mm-hmm. you guys, that album, the history of that album and those songs actually goes back quite a bit, right? Because correct me if I'm wrong, but did those songs originally come out as singles or on a different label or as an EP? What was the story? Because I was told it was kind of, is it accurate to say it was pieced together from different things, or was that one fully realized record?
It was pieced together slightly. So, you know, we did have and Everybody Wants in the UK, which was released about the same sort of time that we started to go to France. But, you know, a huge majority of the album was very unfinished. You know, everything. The tracks were still demo songs. You know, Jed and Geth hadn't even played on any of it. We ran out of money to finish it.
And the lineup change
pretty
much happened as we almost finished the album. So then we never got a chance to actually get these guys to play on it.
So you guys aren't on the on Everybody Wants.
So we're on the second release, the American release.
Oh, you're on the US release.
Yeah, we re-recorded everything.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that's what we did. Yeah, so when it came to the second, like, revised version, you know, we signed a new deal. It was like, great, let's finish this album, you know, properly like we envisioned to begin with. So we went back into the studio, tracked, like, all the drums and, you know... And we also said as well, while we're here, is there anything that we could possibly beat, you know, on this album? And we ended up...
Which is very rare as well for a band to be able to do that.
Right.
So that's another Struts way.
Right, that you get another take two on making your first record.
Again, very unconventional, you know. So we ended up, you know...
Also dangerous, though, because that could go down a slippery slope. Yeah. Where it's like, oh, no, let's redo this again. And then like,
but it's fine, because no one heard the first one, so it's fine.
Is the first one came out, though, in Europe?
It did, but, you know, the label that we were on at the time, you know, we were, like, inherited onto that label. The label that we wrote and basically recorded the majority of the album with had the plug pulled out of it. You know, it went bust. And, you know, the label that we were on, the major, you know, thankfully inherited us and agreed to kind of like put this album out, but, you know, upon agreement, that was basically all that was agreed. You know, it was just going to be put out, and when I mean put out, I mean sort of like someone uploading it, to right. iTunes and saying it's available.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
there was no big push or anything, but you know, it was sort of great to give it a real second go and give the songs the attention that they deserved, you know, the first time around.
How do you guys feel about that record now that you've had those songs for a while and lived with it for a little bit? Is it feel like it's been you still, because the one thing I was really surprised about when I saw you the other night was that even though it's the one full proper record you have out, you actually did not play about five songs from it. Because
no.
I was going into a headline set from you guys thinking, okay, I'm going to hear that record top to bottom and the new single and maybe one or two covers, and that's going to be the set. And I was kind of surprised and in some cases a little disappointed, to be honest, because there's songs on that record I love you didn't play live, but mm-hmm. it was my first time seeing you. But I was like, really? Like, what? They're not playing Roll Up? What, they're not? You know, I was kind of surprised. So that's just the evolution of
yeah.
that being kind of old to you at this point, I would think.
Well, you know, I think we're all definitely over the album. I mean, like, Where Did She Go? I've been playing that and singing it since I was 16.
Mm.
You know, so I'm very happy to.
You're going to be playing it until you're about 70.
I know, which is fine. You know, it's fine. But you know, I think we're all kind of like ready to start a next chapter. And in terms of the live show, I mean, you know, we have to kind of. It is definitely tough coming up with the set list because, like you said, that there's a lot of great stuff on you know the debut album. But one. You know, I think we have to sort of like keep an eye on how long we play because of like the schedules, you know, and what's required of us, you know, the next morning after the show, you know, so.
Oh, you guys were fried when I saw you in Pennsylvania.
Oh, my God.
Because you'd come off of doing a video or something.
We'd done a video shoot and I think we got about, you know, a good solid 4 hours sleep.
Yeah, the performance was great. But I know when I came back and said hello afterwards, I could tell you were over it.
I was done.
Yeah.
You know, so normally we would play at least an hour and 40, you know, and
but you think you did that the other night?
I think we did close to that.
Yeah, for sure. And then whose idea is it to do Dancing in the Dark? Where did that come from? The Springsteen cover.
Well, we wanted to do a new cover and I thought, right, well, what would be the most easiest song to do? And I remember just saying, look, should we just do Dancing in the Dark? Does anyone know that?
Everybody knows
it. And it's like, what? It's how many chords? Like hardly any.
Yeah.
And it's easy.
And it's fun. It's the spirit of the show.
Yeah, we've done like British covers before as well, so it's nice to kind of, as we're touring America.
We were coming up for ideas for do covers at the Roxy shows, and then that one, I mean, I never would have guessed you would have picked that song.
So I like that track.
I love it.
I think people laugh when you say you're going to play it. Like we had Chad Smith played with us, Chad from the Chili's, played at the Roxy, and he was at Jones Beach when we played with the Foos the other day. And he was like, hey, he's like, we play and Dance in the Dark tonight. And then started giggling. We're like, well, do you want to? And he was like, yeah, absolutely. we changed the set list at the last second as we're going on stage.
And then, of course, the Foo Fighters do Under Pressure.
Mm.
And they bring you out, Luke, right?
Yeah.
To do that with them. So that's got to be a blast, I would think.
That is definitely some memories that no one can take away from me. You know, if this all ends tomorrow, you know, I can sort of slowly fade away in my local pub, drinking myself to death, saying, I played Under Pressure with the Foo Fighters and I sang with Taylor. You know, look, it's on YouTube, you know.
You know, when you guys aren't on the show, they still do that, but Taylor sings it.
Yeah, well, he sings it anyway. He does the Bowie bit, I do the Freddie bit.
Right, right.
But it's great, you know. Taylor's fantastic.
Yeah.
What was really impressive was, again, like Jed said, when Chad came and played with us, later on we did Under Pressure, and then they got Chad up and they did The Faces, Stay With Me.
Oh, wow.
And that was really cool. Because I've seen Taylor sing that in his covers band, Chevy Metal, which is a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But with the Foos playing it, it was really special. It was really sick.
Yeah, I'm think you guys have to be done at three in 5 minutes. Do you or do,
so.
Do you have a few more minutes or not? Because I don't want to. I want to get to your.
Let me check.
Okay, yeah, we'll see how much time we have. But we should talk about the next record that's coming.
Right. Yes,
which I want. I just don't know how much time I have, so I don't want to take.
Let's
too much
just
time.
Take as much time as we need. I'm fine.
Okay. Well. Tell me about, before we get to the next record then, tell me about, we were talking about England. You guys just played Download, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that had to be a big moment. Had you played Download before?
We'd done Download previously a few years back, but in a tent, in a large, large tent. So to play the main stage was massive. I don't think any of us were prepared for the turnout. You know, considering like...
What time were you on? Were you on early?
We were on like at 2, 3 p.m.?
Yeah, it's 1:15.
1:15. You know, we had the picnic slot. You know, and we were like, okay, we've got no radio play there. You know, little press. So we were just like, look, we were all very jet lagged, very tired. I wasn't feeling particularly well. The pollen count there was, you know, insane. And it was just like, look, let's just get through today. Anyway, so we walk up and they're like, right, ready? Go, go. And we didn't get to see the audience. And they pulled back the curtain for the main stage. And it was like,
were you the first band on the main stage?
Third.
And it was like, fuck.
Yeah.
And there was like 20,000 people there.
Yeah.
And all of them, all eyes on us. And they were clapping, they were singing. And I think they were there because, you know, a huge majority of the people were, like, really curious. They were like, who is this band, you know?
See, that's amazing that that's happening, that's the attitude about it in England.
Yeah.
You guys being a British band, that's the attitude is, well, who are these guys? Like, a Download.
Coming right back with more with the Struts on this week's Eddie Trunk Podcast. We're back with more with the Struts on this week's Eddie Trunk Podcast.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Well, you know, I've been talking to you guys about TheraWorks Relief for a while, and my buddy Tony Lopez just sent me a text the other day. He said, listen, I listen to your podcast, and he sent me a picture. He goes, I went out and got TheraWorks Relief. It does work. That's right, it works. Tony knows it. I knows it. I know it. If you want to relieve muscle cramps, it's clinically proven. With daily use, TheraWorks Relief can prevent muscle cramps before they start. You can get a full night's sleep or do the activities you love without having to worry about muscle cramps. I've heard from friends who are using it. It works. TheraWorks Relief, it takes minutes to apply. It absorbs quickly, and it does work. I recommend TheraWorks Relief to my friends and my family, just like Tony heard it and my other friends have. It's a life-changing product, and you don't even need a prescription. TheraWorks Relief. It is a great choice for preventing and relieving muscle cramps. Try TheraWorks Relief today. Experience relief from muscle cramps for yourself. TheraWorks Relief in the pain relief aisle at select CVS, Rite Aid, and Walgreens pharmacies or by talking to your pharmacist. Learn more at TheraWorksRelief.com. That's TheraWorks Relief for your muscle cramps.
Shut it down!
Hi, I'm John Taffer. You probably know me because I've rescued thousands of bars, hundreds of them on TV.
That's your future broken!
I'm also a best-selling author, and I've owned and operated a bunch of other businesses. But now, I'm here on Podcast One with my new show, No Excuses.
I only yell at assholes.
Every Tuesday, I'm going to give it to you straight. I'm giving you all things bar rescue, insider peeks of what's going on the set, current events and topics you care about, with in-your-face analysis, and you know how straight I can be. And I'm going to have unforgettable guest interviews with the world's most interesting people, and I'm going to ask them the questions that nobody else has ever asked them. And yes, sometimes I can be a bit of an ass, but I'm going to shut it down every Tuesday and make no excuses. It's going to be the number one show here on Podcast One. Listen to it every Tuesday on PodcastOne.com, on the Podcast One app, and on Apple Podcasts. And remember, rate and review it, or I'm going to shut you down.
Here are some useful car tips you might not be aware of. A coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can clean your interior. Removing excess weight from your car, that'll improve your gas mileage. And you can place your key fob to your chin to increase its range. Pretty weird, right? Well, here's another tip you also might not know. And that's TrueCar also helps people get used cars. That's right. TrueCar isn't just for buying new cars. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience, whether you buy new or used. And with TrueCar, users can see what others paid, so they know if they're getting a good deal before buying. They're also more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with True Car Certified Dealers. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out True Car and enjoy a more confident buying experience. Some features are not available in all states.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Are you guys writing constantly? Are you always on the road writing songs? Are you the type of band I have to set aside writing time?
Yeah.
It's one of those deals?
Set aside. I personally don't know how people do it. You know, like amongst like the promo, the sound checking, the working up the new tracks. You know, a lot of our sound checks are almost rehearsals as well, where we go over things that weren't good, things that were great. And then on the days off, I don't want to sing.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, and honestly, I get advised not to. So I personally love to live and breathe the writing process. And I can't imagine at this point sort of like having 2.5 hours in the day to say, okay, writing. Like now, I like to be able to sort of get up, start working, and knowing that I can sort of spend the whole day on it, you know, because it's at those times like when you're halfway through the day and you start making a sandwich and you know where you suddenly come up with the best idea or something will happen and then you've got the time to run back and voice memo it and stuff like that. And I just don't think you can do that on tour.
I think we have little like voice memo banks of different riffs and things like that you kind of come back to. Like it's like when the time is right and we are all together sitting down trying to write a whole new song, it's like, what have you got? And so we are coming up with little ideas here and there on the go, but as Luke said, not proper full-on writing sessions.
And Adam, I've talked to guitar players that have told me that they dream stuff, like they'll dream songs. They'll wake up in the middle of the night and hum the riff into their notes on their iPhone or whatever. That stuff's always coming to them. For you, what's the process like?
I've dreamt stuff before, and I've woke up in the night and recorded it, thinking it's the best thing in the world.
Shit.
And it's absolute dog shit. But for riffs, I guess it's just most of the time when I've done the better riffs that have we've recorded on songs and stuff like that is literally just sat down and just done it, and it's the first thing that I've come up with
on the day.
Yeah, and when I've tried to rehash things or you know get too complicated with it, it usually just it's too complicated, so it's not as good. But I spend time, you know, like just jamming around, and I'll record things down, or even at sound check, like I'll play one thing, like, oh that's cool, and then we did it the other day in Bethlehem. So.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we. I mean, in soundcheck, if something's happening and we've got like plenty of time, we start like Adam will have a riff and then we'll start, you know, playing it, and then I'll be like, wait, let me get that on my phone.
One thing I really, the Body Talks guitar solo is the first take I did, and everyone seemed to love it, apart from me, and I still hate it.
What's on the record?
Yeah,
the song itself.
Or I think it's dreadful, but everyone else
was it from the demo?
It
was from the just
oh
a,
yeah. yeah, everything was. From the demo.
Well, they always say the demo's better. Any band you talk to, you should have heard the demo.
But it's like what's a Dave Davis solo on? Which King song is that? Where he does this solo?
You really got me.
All day and all the night, probably.
Oh, it's the really scratchy solo, and everyone's like, "Yeah, that's the one." He's like, "You serious?"
And I redid it like 4 times, and I was really happy. And then Luke was like, "I think we should do the demo one."
I was just like, "Look, you know, he redid it, and they were fine solos, but it like Adam, like you said, like it becomes too calculated, and there's like something which is so cool and like carefree, and it just basically complements the track."
But that happens when I saw you guys play, and I mentioned this to you, Adam, when I saw you play live the other night, your headline set, your own show in Pennsylvania. There, one of the things I really love too. Look, what's going on with you guys live? I mean, I love the record, I love the songs, I love everything you're doing, and I'm sincere when I say that to me, of all the emerging rock bands, to me, you guys are the best. I no problem saying that. I think you got the best songs. You got the best. It's all there. And if anybody has seen this band live, it's remarkable, because when you look at that audience, I don't know. You guys, bands would kill for what you have going on as far as an audience, because they're fully engaged And they in Bethlehem the other night, the age ranged from 10 to 70. Mm-hmm. Like, I saw kids there. I saw people older than me, which is really friggin' old. Mm-hmm. And I saw people like your age. And I was like, this is crazy. And they're all into it. And Luke, you get that moment, you're telling everybody to get down on their knees and everything. I don't know if you know, that floor was made of cement, man. That thing was rough on everybody's knees. And I was like, when is this kind of a guy going to tell everybody to stand up? And people are dying like shit. But they're doing it, man. Yeah. They're fully engaged. They're singing. They're into the whole thing. To have that equal male, female. You know, yeah. I saw people with death metal shirts on. Yeah. I saw people with Bowie shirts on. I saw someone with a Katy Perry shirt on. It's like the gamut. That is really remarkable. And that's why, yeah, you've got all the intangibles. You've got the songs. You've got the performance. You've got the star out front singer. You've got all that stuff. But to have that reaction from an audience, I'm sure that's something that you guys don't take lightly. I mean, you see that. You've... It's very, very rare, and I go to a lot of shows to see that for an emerging band. So that's why I felt really, really strongly about where this is going. Like, I feel like it's on the cusp, but if this record is the next progression from Everybody Wants and everything is the right steps are there, it's just going to take one. You've got all these sort of bubbling like rock bands, and people talk about where rock is at in America. It's just going to take one. It's not going to come from a band from the 70s or the 80s, even if they've made a great record. It's going to take a band like you guys or get through the gate in a big way, and I think it's just going to open the floodgates. At least I, as a lifelong rock fan and supporter, I hope that's the case.
Yeah.
So no pressure, but I'm putting it all on you guys to do that right now.
Well, honestly, we were feeling that pressure with the second album. And like you said, you know, we felt like that. We felt like the first album and... The relentless touring that we did, not just in the United States, but, you know, globally as well. It was like, you know, I think we felt like we barely made it out alive. You know, we're still together. We're still a unit. Mentally, we're still here.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Well, let me jump in on that, Luke, because how are you guys all holding up with this? Because this is a lot. I mean, people could look at this as like, wow, They're living the life. They're opening for Foo Fighters. They're playing the Garden tonight. And sure, you wouldn't give it up, I'm sure, for anything. But it's a grind. Yeah. You're not flying private. You don't have all those amenities yet in your career. And Luke, you're the singer, man. Most people are going to want to talk to you. That's just how it is. You got to go out there and sing and perform every night. How are you all holding up in all this? Has it been a lot, or are you still, your heads are still in a good spot?
You get into like an autopilot mode. Yeah. Well, I do, especially. We're going back in like 2 weeks, and I know that I'm just going to look back at what we've done and be like, oh, wow. Okay, so we've done it. What's the next chapter? Just don't think about it too much.
The first 6 months were like a baptism of fire. I think all of us, well, we all partied a lot at the beginning and then realised we couldn't do that forever, so we kind of knocked that on the head. But definitely, for me personally, I was just like, oh, my God, like, wow. We were here for 6 months and just toured. And then the whole of 2016, we did something like 200 shows. So it was shock to the system, but at the same time, it's like what you always wanted to do. So, you know, we just cracked on, really. But we're all really still tight as a unit.
I would say I've never felt more exhausted in my life, but I've also never felt more happy.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. That's how I feel.
I personally find the hardest thing is appreciating it. You know,
stopping and smelling the roses, as they say.
Well, and you know, you become so desensitized by everything. You know, when you're constantly busy, when you're doing a show every other day and you're always on the go, and you're just basically like thinking about getting from one show to the next, you know, when you're really tired and you get fed up, you know, it's hard. I find it extremely difficult to sort of say, like, you know, come on, you're really lucky, you know that. And I'm not too proud to, you know, I'm proud to admit that, you know.
We remind you.
I think, but I think it's tough, because when, for me personally, I'm so focused on, like, you know, this has to be great, this has to be the best, this has to be the, you know,
dude, I'm right there with you. I'm right. Complete. Like, in my world, what I do, it's the same thing. Yeah. Like, people look at me and it's like, man, you talk about rock for a living on the radio, and you know, I host these TV shows, and I'm like, wow, you just, and then I'm just like, no, I'm tunnel vision onto the next thing. People say to me all the time, it's like, take a beat, man, and realize what you're doing and what you've accomplished. Like, it's always next. Yeah. It's always on to the next. I don't ever take it in. And I do have people that talk to me in the same way. It's like, what are you doing, man?
I think it's how you carry on. And I think it's what makes success. That's what makes, I think, a successful person is, you know, unfortunately, kind of like, you know, you can't have everything without giving up something else. And I think, you know, whether it's being extremely focused and work, you know, we have to sacrifice, you know, spending a lot of time away from home, a lot of time away from friends, missing, you know, younger siblings or nieces and nephews, like growing up and not really kind of like being there and sort of like seeing everything from a distance. But, you know, it's a great thing. It's an absolutely amazing thing, but it's definitely not normal. And I think it produces, it makes you react in a not so normal way to the world, if that makes any sense.
Has anybody pulled any rock star moves yet in the history of this band? Anybody guilty of throwing a TV out the window? Or Luke? Luke is almost nodding yes.
I've thought about it.
Trashed a hotel room.
I've thought about it. I think there's been many. A crazy moment. I don't think we've
thrown a deli tray.
Yeah,
anything?
We used to like. I think, like I said, those.
Adam's laughing. Maybe he did that one.
That first.
I'm just thinking the Spinal Tap.
That's of course, you know, yelled that there's no pimento in the olive.
Yeah, I think when you're very tired, when I get very tired and exhausted and stressed out, that I'm not going to be able to be 180%.
Yeah, yeah. You apologized to the crowd in Pennsylvania the other night.
Yeah.
He was like, "I'm sorry, I'm not my usual." And you were great, but I mean, I thought that was amazing. How's your voice? Have you ever had any vocal issues? Because there's a lot of singers like, I won't talk on a show day.
Yeah.
You're playing the Garden tonight. You're here doing interviews.
I mean, I think I'm lucky that I have a voice like Thor's hammer, you know, and it can stand a lot. You know,
at your age now.
At my age now,
yeah.
You know, would me and my voice like prefer to have laid in till 3 p.m. and not spoken? Yeah, but at the end of the day, you know, this is a job, and you know, and at the end of the day, I want to come here and personally like talk to and thank the people that are giving us support, because you know that is the most important thing. So while I can still do it.
Yeah,
I'll do it
at this exactly. amount. Yeah, before we run out of time, because you do have to go do your gig. New record is coming. No release date yet, but this year.
This year, yeah. Definitely,
it's done.
2018, the year of the Struts.
Do we feel like it's the? Would you say this is the first fully realized proper Struts record in your eyes? Because of what you went through with Everybody Wants, or
it's not in perfect Struts fashion. It was recorded in multiple places with multiple producers.
So are we going back and re-recording stuff already before it comes out?
It's already being mixed by like multiple people.
Is it really?
Yeah, I mean, it's just the Struts. You know, it's just
there's a point where it's got to be done though, right?
I know. And look, it was fantastic. You know, am I in any rush to make a third album? No. You know, but I think we're extremely proud of it. There's definitely blood, sweat and tears and a lot of other things that have gone into this album. And you know, the most stereotypical thing of the second album is how difficult it is, and it is extremely difficult.
Well, the old adage, you have your whole life to write your first record, and then you've got the deadline. Now you've got this, you know, all this, the accolades that are starting to come, and so many more people aware of the band, and the pressure to deliver, and then you got a guy like me calling you the future and the band that's going to save rock.
I mean, think everyone's going to be happy with it. I think it's a fucking terrific album.
I think you know, one of the
terrific,
the most important terrific. Things was that we didn't want to sort of like depart musically too much. You know, it's very much a continuation of Everybody Wants.
Okay, good.
You know,
yeah, if it's not broke, you know, don't fix it. That's exactly, as they say. And we have a little bit of an exclusive that we can tell everybody about touring, right?
Yeah, we're going to be heading out on tour on a headline run. We're going to be playing like a whole bunch of the new stuff from this next album, and that will be starting on the 21st of September, going into the 9th of
November.
November. So tickets will be up on sale very, very shortly, I think in a few days.
Yeah.
So look, head over to thestruts.com, watch this space. It's going to be great. The tickets are going to go extremely fast, you know. So,
just sold out 4 nights at the Roxy in LA as a headline. I mean, the other night in Bethlehem, smaller market sold out, big room. Just amazing what's happening. It really is. And for people that have not heard this band, if you're out there, people know I only say stuff because it's what I feel, and good or bad. For all the people, for all the things that I'm saying good about you, there's just as many bands that hate me because I say honestly what I think of them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it doesn't mean anything if you tell every band that comes in they're the greatest band. But I truly, truly am rooting for you guys as a rock fan because, you know, as a fan of the band, of course I am. But the bigger picture is I just think we need this. We need this to happen. It feels like it's going to happen. It feels great. Feels like it's right on the cusp. And I'll tell you, man, when I saw the videos and I heard the songs, and I mean, a song like Put Your Money on Me, which, I mean, I love power pop.
Yeah.
And that to me is so power pop.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the influences are obviously there, but it's still unique. I think what you're doing, it's still original. And I think it's really, really special. So I can't wait for the record. And have a great show tonight. The Garden. That's freaking crazy, man. Yeah. The Garden. Struts at the Garden.
The Garden.
The Garden. Yeah. Do the limo. Just have the big limos out front. Tell Ben, your manager, just for tonight.
Yeah,
And make them from like 1973 limos too, not new ones. The big tricked out ones, you know, so you can throw a robe on you and just get in there and
with a crappy like little black and white television set in the back, which is the size of a Game Boy.
Exactly. All right, guys, thank you. I know you got to go. Have a great gig. Come by anytime.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hopefully, I'll be able to get over there and catch some of you guys. If not, I look forward to seeing the next run of dates and of course the record as well. The Struts, everybody.
Thank you.
Check
them
out.
So much.
And if you know, don't miss the boat on this one. And these headline shows coming up. Not going to be in clubs much longer, so get out there and see them for sure. Or though maybe these aren't clubs. Are you doing big? Are there bigger rooms?
I think it's a mixture between.
Adam's like, no, it's still clubs.
And I think
we're doing a few theaters and like. I mean, well, define a club, you know.
But there's some multiple nights at
multiple
clubs.
Multiple nights
like
in the
that.
Clubs.
Look, in my head, every night it's a stadium.
There you go. That's the way to go.
There's the quote.
All right. Well, my thanks to everybody in the Struts. Good to have all those guys on. Jed, Getten. And, of course, Luke and Adam, really excited for that band's next record and looking forward to it. One of the most exciting bands in rock, in my opinion, today. The Eddie Trunk Podcast, as usual, is produced by Katie Irizarry. Connect with me on social media, at Eddie Trunk, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. EddieTrunk.com is the website. Please check all my appearances on the homepage. If you're in the Tulsa area, I'll see you this Saturday night, IDL Ballroom in Tulsa, for a free show with Bisto Blanco. Tons of appearances coming up. Tons of cool stuff going on. Don't forget about the Big Rainbow broadcast if you're in the Southern California area on August 3rd. The place to see where everything is, including you guys in Mexico, because I am coming your way with Deep Purple. You can learn about everything I'm doing as far as appearances right on the homepage of EddieTrunk.com. And, of course, you can always follow. And the best thing for up to the second news info and updates is to follow on Twitter. And, of course, that's at Eddie Trunk as well. Don't forget to watch Trunk Fest Sunday nights, 9:30 Access TV, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 Pacific. DVR it, and I appreciate everybody watching that. And listen to me daily on Sirius XM 106 Volume Live, 2 to 4 Eastern, replaying 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, talking rock music with you. Have a good week. See you next Thursday for another all-new Eddie Trunk podcast.
Shut it down!
Hi, I'm John Taffer. You probably know me because I've rescued thousands of bars, hundreds of them on TV.
That's your future broken!
I'm also a best-selling author, and I've owned and operated a bunch of other businesses. But now, I'm here on Podcast One with my new show, No Excuses. I only yell at assholes. Every Tuesday, I'm going to give it to you straight. I'm giving you all things Bar Rescue, insider peeks of what's going on the set, current events and topics you care about, with in-your-face analysis, and you know how straight I can be. And I'm going to have unforgettable guest interviews with the world's most interesting people, and I'm going to ask them the questions that nobody else has ever asked them. And yes, sometimes I can be a bit of an ass, but I'm going to shut it down every Tuesday and make no excuses. It's going to be the number one show here on Podcast One. Listen to it every Tuesday on PodcastOne.com, on the Podcast One app, and on Apple Podcasts. And remember, rate and review it, or I'm going to shut you down.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.